On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock.
Watch out, Commissioner Gordon. SEOs, Lily Ray, Bat Spamnel went off, and Google's Gotham some problems.
Good news for anyone who doesn't want to log in to edit their ads. Anthony Hickman found a surprise for you.
And TikTok gets creative with some new tool updates.
Oh, on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Christine Zernheld.
AKA Shep.
I'm Jess Budd.
And I'm Greg Finn.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on December 29th, 2023.
And before we get into all of the digital marketing news of the week, welcome to last show of 2023.
Exciting. Wow. Exciting times. Good.
It's very festive.
I know. I had to wear, if I'm not pregnant, I'm going to wear this sweater every year.
Okay.
I guess that was an announcement.
Okay. There you
Shep
go.
Is not pregnant. Congratulations.
Greg bought me this sweater a couple years ago. It is authentic. Quacker Factory by Jean Bice. Did I win a bet or something? Why did you buy it for me?
We are making fun of your QVC obsession.
Yeah.
Especially these like bedazzled jewel infested pieces of clothing.
Real rhinestones. It's like a few years old now. Yeah. I haven't lost a single one. It's so high quality.
Still very sparkly.
This is one of the best time of year to watch QVC. Like as soon as the shipping deadline is over and it's like not Christmas gifts, it's just relaxing.
So
there's no pressure. You're just watching it for fun. It's so nice.
So do you buy anything when you watch?
Never. Except for when you bought me the sweater.
When's the last time you bought something in QVC?
Years. Yeah.
What was Nordic Track? You bought a Nordic Track, right?
It wasn't Nordic Track brand. I bought a rinky dink pink elliptical that Sean Killinger told me to buy.
But if it's from QVC, it's
got
to be good.
I got a solid 2 years out of it. It was worth the price. Like it was like $200. Okay. It was pretty good. Yeah.
It's no Gazelle, but.
No. Tony Little?
Is that his name? That guy? Yeah. Yeah, with the ponytail.
Yeah, but if you want a sweater like this, it's Quacker Factory by Jean Bice. May she rest in peace. Highly recommend her book, too. I want to read it. It's called Pull Yourself Up by Your Bra Straps.
Wait, that's you nice. Have read this or haven't read it?
I haven't, but I want to.
How is
that's
highly
an amazing
recommend
title.
Something.
All you need to know is the title and see the cover in Jean Bice sometimes.
Okay. I mean, I'm a big Bice guy here.
What does that mean?
A big fan of Bice.
What's that?
Her.
Jean? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Jean Bice, right? Isn't that her name?
I don't know. Half the time you make jokes on the show and I don't know what they mean. So I didn't know if Bice had some double meaning.
I thought that was
okay.
No. Plain and simple.
It's Jean. It's more of a first name thing.
It's not Jeannie?
No, it's Jean Bice.
Jean Bice.
I just got done with the Christmas festivities in my household and we had to go over to my parents' house on Christmas Eve. I got my kids. And my son, my boy just didn't look right. He just, it was off. He wasn't eating. I'm like, oh no. So I called my mom and I'm like, I don't think he's doing that good. Like, I don't know, no fever, nothing, but he's not just not looking good. Like, what do you want me to do? You tell me and I will do it. And she's like, yeah, just bring him over. And like they have a cousin that's very young, like 6 weeks young. So I'm like, I don't want to like infest, you know, that child. Mm-hmm. So we get to the party. He sits down and like gets up and just pukes.
Like, oh. On the baby?
No.
Thankfully.
I don't know what it is. Like all over the country this Christmas, there was just diarrhea all over the place. Like
we did not move on Christmas Day.
We had so
diarrhea.
Many stories.
Yeah.
But it's not like I know people in Virginia, like all over the country, diarrhea was just plaguing the nation.
Huh. Everywhere.
Like what was it?
It was the fruitcake.
Bad time to fly.
The Jello mold. I don't know.
Basically going to Barcelona.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But so I was sitting home with a sick kid and then all of a sudden just snapped out of it and was just running. I'm like, I was just in chill mode. Like, you can't just do this. And then I was fine the rest of the time.
That's so the
like
thing about whatever this bug was.
Hour bug.
You're just over it. Yeah. And flying.
It's the Bah Humbug.
Oh, that's good.
Just came up with that on the spot.
Yeah, that's real good.
And getting into the news here, I'm sure you guys are expecting this. Bit of a slow news week, but Anthony Higman does not take any breaks. From his X account.
Higman!
Just spotted, Google has enabled the ability to edit ad copy directly on the Google search results page outside of Google Ads.
Thank goodness.
I know. This is the upgraded Google Ads summary card that shows up when you do a search for one of your keywords when logged into an account as an admin. So I'm sure some people were kind of like, oh, how convenient. But then if you look at the comments, Victoria Chapman commented, actually, this is from LinkedIn. I think I said X earlier. But Victoria Chapman commented and said, oh, God, this actually sounds like a nightmare. I can imagine clients editing ads left, right, and center.
Good point.
That was my biggest concern. Yeah. It's like, okay, it's fine if you're doing it. Anybody that has access to the account can just hop in there, spice it up. Don't like that.
No. And changes like that just shouldn't be done on the fly. Like, I feel the same way about the Google Ads app. I like that it's there, the mobile app, and I like that you can kind of like check in on performance throughout the day if you need to, if you're on the go. But like, I don't want to do any changes in there.
No.
Like, you need to be like buckled in at your desk and really paying attention to what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And then Anthony said, what's worse is how easy it is to accidentally click auto apply option. That's my beef. And I looked at the screenshot and I don't see it in there, but I trust Anthony. And that is truly terrifying.
Oh, it's down underneath it, where it says edit ad. See all those little buttons? Apply.
Oh,
it's just giving, though, that's what clients are going to click.
Yes.
They're just going to do that. They're not going to edit the ad copy. They are going to optimize the heck out of their accounts.
What a nightmare.
Yeah.
And then it's like you can see if the ads are eligible or ineligible, which we are just launching a new campaign. To start, most of the terms were ineligible due to lack of search volume.
Mm-hmm.
So like imagine, but this just says like eligible or ineligible. So imagine that, because like that's obviously a big issue with PMax is like Google is making many terms ineligible due to their lack of volume. So then PMax takes them.
Yeah. So but I guess
you're going to have your clients in there being like, oh, it's ineligible. Like, why? Oh, because whatever term you search for doesn't have enough search volume. So it's ineligible for it, even though it might actually show up for it.
So I'm scared of this. I guess if you have clients, it might be good to give them a heads up. Say they might be seeing this and
don't touch it.
Let us know if you have any questions.
Also,
please.
Out of all of the, this actually probably took a lot of work.
Like on Google side
yeah.
to make happen? Yeah.
To be like, mm-hmm. hey, we're going to pull in the Google Ads platform. We're going to tie into the APIs right in the SERPs. We're going to let you do all these things. Nobody wants this. All we wanted to do is be faster and have less clicks to do stuff and be able to pause the campaigns when we mean pause when you say pause. This is the last thing we want.
They won't even let you change your own budget in Google Ads without like triple confirming, but you can just go into the SERPs and do anything.
Yeah,
that's
that makes no sense.
Stuff. Yeah.
Makes no sense.
What else is happening?
Okay, well, Lily Ray at Lily Ray NYCNX found a landfill of spam. Spamfill of spam in the SERPs on Google and was basically just going off. I think it was right before Christmas, the 20th of December, and she was flying through a ton of listings that really stunk. First one, she was saying, if you currently Google Craigslist used auto parts, every single result in the top 20 is spam, minus the first two results from Craigslist. And then she says, LOL, YouTube gets to sneak in a few results in between the spam. And then, of course, a Google Translate spam result made it in as well. Another thing that it seemed like was happening is a lot of the spam that was showing up was very, very aggressively bad, like porn and malware. That was showing up. Another example that she had, she says, oh, good. A spam result is ranking in position 12 for CVS Bruno 19 booster. We can't say the real word here, but in the example, it is somebody right about the first page that could be looking for that booster and instead gets very, 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 it's... you might get a disease, but it's probably not going to be. No, like if you look at that. Okay. And then there's another example for UPS printing. And the, according to my eyes, the fourth result was another spam that went to, again, some aggressive stuff. And then she says, you just can't make this stuff up. And this was something else that she was finding, is that Google, it might have been the Hidden Gems update, started ranking a lot more Google Maps. So you can go in and you can make a custom map, and then you can, it started to rank more. And so she typed in magic mushrooms for sale, and there's a map of where to buy magic mushrooms. Somebody's Google My Map. There's also one that had some curse words that was ranking. And then another one that was like really bad. It was like something very inappropriate about underage children, and Google Maps were ranking for it.
No.
So according to Lily, the user submitted maps within Google Maps, each of which creates its own indexable URL in Google, are surging in rankings and visibility. And then lastly, kind of unrelated, I'd say, but she's seeing the notes from the search results now ranking in the search results.
Oh, good.
So can you leave notes on a note, do you think?
You shouldn't be able to.
I don't think so. No. But she says, oh, good. Google's new notes feature is not only indexable, but I'm also seeing random notes ranking too. Wasn't even looking for this, but it once again appeared in a casual search. I refuse to tell people that spamming UGC is the key to SEO in 2024, by the way. And there's a whole bunch of actual notes from search engine results that are now the search engine results. And one example that I liked is Lily had a picture from somebody, Deepak Fartal. And Deepak, it looked like there was just a lot of X's. And the note that Deepak made was, this is not helpful, crying emoji, crying emoji, crying emoji, crying emoji, crying emoji, crying emoji, X, 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 crying emoji, crying emoji. It's like, that's just what's pulling in the results now.
Why didn't you read the whole note?
Also not helpful.
Because I don't have enough time.
It's a slow news week. Keep going.
And then I would just say lastly that Danny Sullivan kind of acknowledged all that and said that he's seeing some of those same things and passing it on. And usually when that happens, I mean, it's a bad look when, you know, your grandma's trying to go to UPS printing, you know, and is finding, I don't know, DVTA. Like, that's not the acronym you're looking for.
It's not helpful. Crying emoji. You know what is helpful to social media managers? They perhaps might want to rejoice. TikTok is working on some improvements to a couple of the tools that it has for creators and marketers. First, a new desktop UI for Creator Center has rolled out to some users with business accounts. It has a new format for analytics that supposedly makes it easier to look at content performance and audience response with a dedicated full screen display of key metrics. I don't know what it was like before, but that just seems like a no-brainer, so thank you. It's currently being tested just with a select group of users, so if you don't see it yet, don't cry. It's probably coming. And that was Creator Center, which is not to be confused with Creative Center. Two different tools, two very, very different names. Creative Center also got an update. This is where you can research trends, see top ads, keyword insights, things like that. The update here is a full rollout, not a test, of conversational AI that'll help users find what they're looking for within the tool. So the new Creative Assistant chatbot can help with prompts like brainstorming creative ideas, writing ad scripts, and just providing general insights. So if you don't know how to navigate the tool yourself and want to talk to an AI about it, I guess you can. So they're kind of small updates, but I guess the big thing is analytics on desktop. If that rolls out to everyone, that will be really helpful because, you know, people that are working are usually using a computer. So love to see it.
Now it's time for this week's take of the week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
All right, this week's take of the week comes from the one and only PPC Kirk at PPC Kirk on X. And Kirk says, close variant fail. Me to a prospect in a video just now after checking on their account. Hey, sorry to let you know, but Google is matching your brand keywords up through close variants to non-performing, non-brand, generic terms. So this is a branded account matching non-branded generic terms. They never should have matched to these, according to Google's own match intent standards, because this account's generic terms are very inefficient, low ROAS, compared to the highly efficient brand terms, high ROAS. This is why PPCers still struggle to trust Google's close variant matching. This is a great example why I remain of the mindset that exact should be exact with zero close match. If you want to keep things super restrictive, especially in limited budget accounts, then advanced advertisers should have the option to do that, i.e. true exact. Then broad phrase can be used more for expansion as budget allows. That's my two cents. Gets down from soapbox. And this is like basically the Must Read Marketing article of the week. He brought this up a little bit more in depth. But yeah, like why? The minute that you match a brand term to a generic phrase, exact means nothing.
Yeah.
And again, I was training last week talking about exact match, talking about identical matching, and then talking about how you can have an identical match, exact match term in a search campaign. And even if you have it there, PMax can still show over it because there's eligibility. It's like this whole thing makes, it's so overcomplicated, none of it makes sense.
They don't want it to make sense.
I know.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI.
ICYMI, people.
This is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
ICYMI, people. Ben Kruger at Ben_Kruger posted a hot take on X this week. He said, many of you hate on PMax but aren't even using it correctly. You should be using it to mine for search terms and audiences that are working and building them into your controlled campaigns across search and YouTube. It's a gold mine. Ben's out here with a lot of hot takes, and he just wants people. He wants engagement, I think. There are some funny responses to this. Julie Baccini was one of my favorites. She said, my dude, you don't get these specific insights from PMax. It is one of the veteran PPCers' biggest complaints about PMax. You also don't get much insight into asset performance. It's a whole... what is that?
I think it's probably something.
But it also raison means...
Raison d'etre.
Okay, it's raison d'etre, I guess. Julie's a lot smarter and more distinguished than me, and that's what I learned today. But anyway, she says, I'm hoping you know this and are just trolling, which I think he is. But anyway, Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan Retail responded with, I think, my biggest takeaway from this. And he says, I do think the search term insights are cool. They've taken care of engrams, typos, etc., and you can still drill into lots of individual terms. It has big usability problems, but in fairness to Ben, I think it's pretty good. It just pisses me off to no end that they omit cost data. And agreed at Neptune Moon, Julie. Asset reporting could be stronger in both cases, terms and assets. It's very hard to scale up the work. I kind of just ignore this because I hate that they omit cost data. And I think the ICYMI is that if Mike Ryan's using it, he's pretty smart. And I want to maybe give it a second chance too. It is getting rid of some of that fluff. So maybe there could be some insights in there. So maybe in 2024, we could check out those insights a little bit more.
Now it's time for this week's pew, pew, lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
First up in the paid universe this week from Anthony Higman on X.
Higman.
He says, have been seeing this for a little over a year, but think it is interesting what Google is doing with YouTube standalone pages and cleverer expanded match. They're starting to build these pages out more and more and transcribe video text and adding related products and topics from the transcribed text. So he has an example. It's a video where he's looking up a clip from the Ford versus Ferrari movie. Have you guys seen that?
No.
Just check it out and let me know what you think. Okay, so he was looking for a specific clip from this movie. And then on the page with the clip is a link to a 2019 Ford Shelby, because they're talking about a Shelby in the clip, I guess. So this is what they're doing on YouTube. He says, also, no, I'm not interested in paying $60,000 for a Ford Shelby just because I wanted to search to watch a clip from Ford versus Ferrari. LOL. But it will certainly extract more money from advertisers and give it to Google.
Is this an ad, though?
Related products? Yeah, yes. I thought it was pulling in from shopping.
That's not pulling from shopping.
I thought it was like a PMax shopping thing.
No, I think that because it would have to say sponsored. Mm. So it doesn't say sponsored. So it seems like when you're on that clip of the movie in YouTube, it is kicking you off of YouTube to a search that clearly has many, many ads.
Yeah.
In the search. So I don't think that the ad, the related products within the YouTube video is actually an ad, but it's driving you to somewhere where there's very specific ads.
Okay. Well, that's fun. Again, from Anthony, he says, just spotted new choose a place in the area local ad SERP feature. Seeing this across geos and browsers on mobile. So he's in Maps and there's ads and it says choose a place in the area as like a heading. And then it has different law firms underneath. So another find for local peeps. Next up from Thomas Assell, he found a demand gen analytics tab that shows audience retention for shorts, feed, and in-stream video campaigns. So he says the audience retention displays the percent of viewers that made it to each second of the video. And he says this is important to understand if your video assets are performing good or need work. You can select between in-stream, shorts, and feed. You can also deep dive into performance while segmenting audience retention with age, gender, device, ad group, and campaign. So if you're looking to drill down into those demographics more, some interesting stuff you can dig into there. Thomas also found PMax search term insights that now have top performing, trending, and top demand filters. If you want to play around with that, if you're like Mike Ryan and you like those insights, that's another good find. Overall, you need to be following Thomas Assell and listening to everyone on our top PPC influencers to follow list. There was also news this week that the Google Ads team is facing a major restructure amid the automation boom. So I guess the story here is that there is a restructure coming. This was confirmed by executive Sean Downey. His team has 30,000 people and things are going to change in the sales unit. We don't know necessarily that that's related to the automation boom. It's just kind of what people are saying. And we don't know if there's layoffs or what exactly is going to happen, but change is coming. Barry Schwartz reported this week on Search Engine Roundtable that businesses can now use their DBA doing business ads or trade names for the advertiser verification program. Cool. Finally here, YouTube released this article that is pretty annoying and not really newsworthy called A Year on YouTube Takeaways from Great Ads of 2023. There's no reason that they're saying these ads are like better than anyone else's ads, but they're like highlighting three brands and they want like all the other people in the world to learn from what these brands are doing. And it's basically not applicable to normal brands at all. So the first example is Apple, and they have this one ad that was an hour and a half of studying with Storm Reid, who was an actress. And it was like an interesting idea. She's like studying and there's lo-fi beats playing in the background. And then she takes a break and talks to you. And then that happens a few other times. And then at the end, there's like a dance party. That's not an ad.
What's it an ad for?
It's not an ad, and only Apple could do that.
Yeah, I can't pay for that.
Then they have another one that only Apple could do where they have this grandma and she's trying to see if Apple Pay can make her look 60 instead of 80, I guess. And she's like getting a makeover and paying for everything with Apple Pay. All that YouTube wants you to know is that it's a short and they want everyone to use shorts for ads. Again, nobody could do anything like this. And then they also had Louis Vuitton as an example, like so relatable. And they just had an ad that was an entire 20-minute fashion show. And there were all these celebrities in it, and it was basically a concert. And I, again, don't know what most brands are supposed to learn from this. Then they have, quote, a six-second sleigh from Zendaya that is literally just Zendaya standing on the red carpet in Louis Vuitton with no text on the screen. It is not an ad. They just paid to promote this short. And YouTube wants you to know that people are using shorts ads. Then the final example is PepsiCo. And these are the kind of ads that I want to see. So the first one was called Rise Up Baby. And it was this cool guy. I guess he's like a famous actor. And he's just like running around the streets of India. And it's like a big music video. And there's stunts. And there's dancing. And there's drums. And it's really a good time. And it made me want to have a Diet Pepsi. Not really. And then they had this other one that was No Lays, No Game. And it's all these celebrities going to people's houses. And they don't want to be at the party if there's no lays. And then there was this one that was like for popcorners. Don't you like those, Jess?
Yeah, I love those.
But it was that show about the drugs. What's it called?
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
That show about the drugs.
So I think these are just three brands that like paid YouTube to be in this article, and very little of it was helpful to me as an advertiser, but that's what you need to know.
And now on to the organic section this week, brought to you by us, the UADataExtract.com tool that we built here for our clients in like a few days. It's 2024. Do you know what happens in 2024 to UA data?
Goes away.
Goes away.
Goes away.
How long, Shep?
Forever.
Forever. Don't be one of those suckers that set up all that data, all the conversions, just to have it vanish. You'll be only be able to go back to 2022.
Yeah. And
like,
and
even
that's assuming
if
you set up GA4 yeah, properly at the time.
Early, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want all of your data, again, it's a tool we built for our clients so that they could keep and store all the hard-earned data that they worked for. It's a tool that will pull in Looker Studio reports. So you can look by geo, by device, look at conversion data, acquisition numbers, all of that great stuff, and keep that in a also in a bunch of CSVs. So you have the raw data, you'll have a Looker Studio report, and it starts at about a little under $1,500. We have to do some manual configuration there. And then we also have some agency pricing too. I know we have a lot of people, agencies here, reach out. It's a giant discount if you have a few folks that you're trying to bring in here. And it's a way that you can charge the same rate that we would charge your clients and make a couple extra bucks here as well. So it is UADataExtract.com. And it is now officially the time. You should be on GA4 now. We've been advocates of getting that set up early. You've got 6 months to save that data. UADataExtract.com. And first up in the organic section this week is from the incredibly fast talker Barry Schwartz over on Search Engine Roundtable. Google SGE used to have a little note that said, ends December 2023. That warning, no longer. So apparently SGE was going to end at the end of this year, but it seems like the rollout of SGE is not ASAP, at least from if you're reading the tea leaves on this here.
So FYI.
Yes, yes. So we'll see when that actually rolls out, but might not be as fast as we thought. All right, next up from the incredibly fast talker himself, Barry Schwartz at Rusty Brick on X, says Google is emailing those who added notes statistics to the Search Lab experimental feature. And he found this via Glenn Gabe, best organic file of 2023. And if you haven't listened to the Claxkers yet, they're out. They're the episode right before this one. Mm-hmm. But I recommend YouTube. Tables did a heck of a job on that YouTube.
Yeah. Outdid really himself.
Did. Outdid himself.
Outdid himself.
Mm-hmm. And we're all dressed to the nines.
Yeah, some of us
about
eights.
An eight.
Eights. Okay. Well, I was in the nines. And we had background, a lot of great rants. Some of those things just play way better visually, but check it out. And thanks for everybody who helped contribute to the Claxkers. Anyway, if you have been putting notes out on the search engine results themselves, you can now see how many people viewed your note. It's kind of similar if you review restaurants or any local businesses. Many times you can see how many people viewed your photos. So you can see this. And this looks like Glenn had put a note on saying Google explained this rolled out months ago, and then 50 people saw his note.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's good to know.
I'm assuming it was gone.
Good to note.
Noted.
All right. And from Nate Hack, he says, at Nate, J-H-A-K-E on X, he says, how is this legal? Google's now stealing Travel Lemming's own brand searches, even via site search. They take our list, including my original photos, and present it in a rich result so people don't click through. I am literally in that Red Rocks photo, WTF. In the search he was doing, this was a site search, but he said it was happening on non-site searches as well. Things to do in Denver. It seems that Google is scraping everything from Travel Lemmings using his own photos and not giving people the attribution maybe that they should have. Because I think if it's your picture and you have a very comprehensive 63 best things to do in Denver by a local, like I feel like you should earn that spot. But when you click through, and I tried clicking through on Red Rocks, I couldn't find the Travel Lemmings showing up there, but it was pulling in that information and presenting it, but not surfacing that. And then Danny and Nate went back and it seemed like a very good conversation. The search liaison of Google said, "Hey, Nate, this got flagged to my attention. I'll pass the feedback to the team. Pretty sure this isn't a new feature. Elsewhere in the thread, you talk about it being an AI answer, and I'm pretty sure that's not the case either. It's a way to refine an initial query and browse it into more results. With the example you point out, when you expand the listing, your image is there with a credit. If you click, a preview with a larger view comes up, and that lets people visit the site. Personally, I'm not a fan of the preview to click. I think you should click directly to the site. Feedback that I shared internally before, and I'll do again. But it's making use of how Google Images operates, where there's a larger preview that helps people decide if an image is relevant to their search query." So I just like the fact that Danny's like, "I don't really like this." Like, much appreciated. And then Nate went back with a huge long back and forth about how Google is becoming AI. And then Danny's said noted and all that stuff. But it also seems like it's mainly in the travel space that this kind of cannibalism is happening. So watch out if you're in that sector. Okay. And from Glenn Gabe at Glenn Gabe on X, he says, "For those seeing weird volatility in Discover, I've covered how the recent changes to the following topics can impact visibility there. Here's a good example. I follow Google Photos as a topic, so I see a distinct section in Discover. Google can surface a number of content types in that cluster, including its own help documentation. That's a big difference from the linear feed of mostly articles before the change. Just a heads up that Discover is fluid, always changing, and a giant testing ground for Google." And the example that he has broken out is a section called Google Photos. And there's an article from The Verge, an article from ZDNet, and then a Google Help article as well. So you might be able to get more stuff into those different topic clusters there. And of course, you can see another look into his Google Discover feed, strength training in there. Isn't that what we said? We were trying to guess his, because he had that one Atari one. I'm like, yeah. It's like strength training.
I don't think did we say strength training? I think we said
workout. Like, we said something with, yeah. Fitness.
Is it all the same?
Pretty, I mean, he's just trying to get jacked.
Okay, he doesn't want to be skinny.
He is jacked. Yeah, he doesn't want to be body shamed by a podcast host. I understand him.
I would never body shame Glenn Gabe.
Okay, just me. Okay, Google Analytics 4 properties can now be integrated with AdSense. So you can mix AdSense data with other site metrics like traffic sources, user behavior to get better insights. So AdSense and GA4 are now GTG. Good to go. And that's it in organic. What's happening in social, bud?
Not much. But first up, from Social Media Today, LinkedIn is expanding its learning tools. They're experimenting with a new coaching element, which will use generative AI to guide your learning journey based on specific queries related to your current career stage. The platform is also going to recommend courses based on your job preferences. So this is kind of cool. According to LinkedIn, when you set a job alert, in addition to being notified about open jobs, we'll recommend learning courses and professional certificate offerings to help you build the skills needed for that role. I don't know how it knows you don't have those skills yet, but it seems kind of cool. It's nice. I love to see that they're embracing users are coming to the platform for professional development and building their career. So good on you, LinkedIn. Stop trying to make threads happen, you say? They haven't quit yet, and they're working on making it happen even more. They're working on an API that, to start, will just allow third-party publishing tools to post to Threads. It's in live testing and apparently already close to launch, which is cool. They have eventual plans to facilitate analytics engagement and make it a more robust API, but for now, you'll at least be able to write, which means post. I like to sound like I know what I'm talking about, but I just read that in the article. And speaking of the Clockskers, it is too late to make it into the in memoriam section of the esteemed awards this year. But FYI, RIP live chat in subreddits. The platform announced this week that it is sunsetting the live chat option within communities. It's already been disabled for new posts. And in early 2024, existing live chat posts will be converted to standard posts with comments. So based on the comments to that post, it sounds like nobody liked it or was using it, and everybody's just like, hooray, way to get rid of something. Sorry that you worked on it. Nobody wanted it in the first place, but RIP in peace.
And that brings us to our real life segment, straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work, good, bad, or otherwise.
I love this time of year. Everybody is hardly working, so I get to work really hard uninterrupted. I've just been extremely productive so far this week. It's only day two, but I was one of two people in the office yesterday, and I did so much. There were people working from home, but nobody was slacking. There were like almost no meetings. Mm-hmm. And I just love when clients take off and you can do all the things on your back burner list. It's just, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
I know you love it.
I do.
For me, if you work in B2B ads, or even if you don't and you have ad schedules that you need to change this time of year, I like to like put my weekend campaigns on the weekday that's the holiday, and then I don't have to turn the other campaigns off, the weekday campaigns. I feel like it works better when we do it that way, and there's not as much of like a downturn. Also recommend labels for weekday and weekends. If you have a ton of campaigns in an account, I just added them for one of our accounts, and I'm hoping it's going to save us a lot of heartache next time we have a holiday like this, because it was a lot. Greg?
Something hardly working for me. I just don't like what conversions and Google Ads has become. I don't like how you have to have like submit forms and then they all pull in and you can like pull in the section. Like
the custom goals. It's stupid.
I just want to take a campaign and go towards one conversion. Is that too much to ask? Do I have to group everything? Do I have to put out? I know you can do secondary. I know you can do sometimes it's just nice to be able to say, I'm shooting towards this target. This is my target. This is conversion
here. You have to do that custom goal thing. Do you need me to show you how?
No, I do. I do. But a lot of times I try to organize them.
Yeah.
And be like, and then it's like, oh, no, you can't. You just have to, you can't use submit form. You can't do this stuff.
Like, don't organize them like that for us. Like, we don't need that. Like, just have all the individual goals. And if I want to add 5 to a campaign, let me. Why does it have to be so complicated?
I know. And then it's like, can I make – what would really be nice is if we're like, in this campaign, we want to target this conversion and it's primary. Also, this conversion is secondary. And not have it be like universal for everything. It's just I don't like the way it's set up. It's so cumbersome. And then, like I said, as I was saying last week – even setting them up new, I was just doing a whole bunch of new account builds for uidataextract.com. And I haven't done it in a while. And we were training through it. And it's like many times you can't set it as secondary. And it's like you have to launch it, then change it and post. And it's just a disaster. But you can now edit ads within the search engine results pages.
Great.
And now for this week's
cool tool.
As a reminder, our cool tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool.
This week's cool tool is a Google Sheet that's really neat. It's from Thomas Asell, so you know it works well. And he's sharing it with you because he's a cool dude. So Team PPC, this one is for
wait,
you.
Wait.
Yeah.
What? Wait. Come on.
Does you and dude rhyme?
It's close enough.
He shared what? It with you because he's a cool dude?
Dude. Yeah. Jess, why couldn't you just let it go with two rhymes?
I don't know.
You only needed one and you didn't need any.
Third time's a charm. The third one was the best of all of them. Maybe we don't need rhymes, but you need this sheet, Team PPC. It is a Google Ads Editor friendly sheet for campaign setup. So you can save time building out your campaign, ad groups, keywords, assets, and all the ads just in the sheet and then import it later. It's pre-formatted to work perfectly. It's as simple as filling in the blanks. Just look at the screenshot that we have up if you're watching us on the video. It's stupid easy. And it's really nice. And it's a great way to kind of see everything that you're putting together before you load it in. So it's good for training purposes, too, if you want to show somebody how things work. So you can get a copy for free. Just comment in Thomas's LinkedIn post and connect to them on the platform so he can send it to you. That's all he asks. So as always, we will have the link to that post in our newsletter as well as on Discord. That's newsletter.andcommunity.marketingclock.com, respectively. So pick your poison and check it out.
Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week. An article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from PPC Kirk at PPC Kirk on X, and it's on zatomarketing.com. It's called No Keywords Aren't Just Topics, They're Specific Words with Intent. Talked about this in the take of the week. It's kind of like a bigger extraction from his initial thought. And I do think Kirk might be one of the most fairest. I mean, he's not you know, most pro Google marketer 2022 and 2023 marketer of the year, but he's one of the most fair people out there. And he says, I like to push back on something I hear a lot. The argument goes something like this. Well, keywords are just topics anyway. This argument is typically given after some sort of discussion on close variants, the usage of broad match keywords, the expansion of audiences within Google Ads, or even the utilization of PMax in an account. Look, there is much I agree with the statement, and it's helpful to begin with that. Again, positive, right? But then it goes into giving examples out. And one of those more egregious ones, and he listed in the article, was about a brand term matching to a non-brand close variant that is a generic term. And he says, if Google truly believed that close variant behavior was the best way to manage targeting, wouldn't they also apply close variants to your negative keywords as well? If their highest objective, as they note, for a keyword close variance defense, is to allow for helpful targeting shortcuts based on semantical connection between various words, wouldn't they also apply that same logic to negative keywords that would help an advertiser be more restrictive to their specific topic or intent? Clearly, there's much more at play here for Google than simply finding the best semantical matching. And we would be wise to keep that in mind with close variants as well. And then another sentence I liked, you go read the article at Zato Marketing, Z-A-T-O marketing.com, and check out his TEDx talk as well. He says, here's the problem. It's not that Google always fails. It's that it fails enough. In enough accounts to really mess up the targets and budgets of a lot of accounts. In many cases like this, the business owner doesn't even notice because they don't really understand what's going on. And I'm going to add one other thing. Or you can't see what's going on. Because you, in 2024, are we even going to have a search query report?
Please don't will that into existence.
But yes, it's a great read. Again, a lot to think about. Thank you, Kirk.
And now onto our playlist of curated songs to work to. You can head over to playlist.marketingaclock.com to listen to Marketing a Playlist. Jess, what will you be adding to the playlist this week?
This week for me is Don't You Dare by Zeal and Ardor.
I will be adding Sleigh Ride by Ella Fitzgerald. It is my last week for Christmas songs.
And I'm going to be adding Boys Don't Cry by Mansions with a Z.
All right, that does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening.
We miss you already.
Can't wait to see you next year.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingoclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingoclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shooting the Hack. We're after our famous Friday news show. We don't talk about marketing anymore. We just...
shoot the hack.
And to end out the year, we're playing everyone's favorite game. Wait, Greg?
We are. We're playing Trivia.
Oh,
2023 edition. We're recapping. This is coming out right before the new year. So these are going to be events that have happened in 2023.
Ooh.
See if you all were paying attention.
Okay.
I wasn't.
The other thing is the only websites that make trivia are like from the UK. So, you know, I can either go nerdy stuff, fun stuff, or like I have lots about the UK.
Okay.
What Pepsi-owned brand was renamed Starry in early 2020?
Shep. Sierra Mist.
Correct. Shep has got one. What deceased American actress received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame on May 4th, 2023?
Shep. Carrie Fisher.
Two to nine.
Oh, may the fourth be with you.
Yep.
And also with you.
Okay, some tech news. You're all going to get this.
I can't wait.
2-0, Shep's winning. In 2023, what company became the first to achieve a market cap of $3 trillion?
Jess. Google?
Incorrect.
Alphabet?
Apple?
Correct. Okay. Shep is three.
Wow, I never win anything.
This was not my year.
Okay. I got a feeling I was going to get this one too. Oh. Which film won the Best Picture Award at the 2023 Academy Awards?
Oh, Shep, it's going to take me a minute. Wait. I watch every year.
It's going to take me a minute.
Good Night Moon.
They all blur together.
Is that your final answer?
Oh, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Correct.
Yay!
Wow.
It's a really good movie. You guys would both like it.
You think?
Yeah.
Is it a comedy?
Yeah.
Really?
But also like a nice mom and daughter story.
Oh, I do like
Have
that.
You seen it, Greg?
No.
You would like it.
Okay.
Can see you really care about that recommendation.
In 2023, which country became the first to legalize recreational cannabis nationwide? I'll give you hints if you'd like.
I'm surprised there wasn't already some.
I know.
Do you want any hints?
Like,
I have four guesses.
Is Jamaica? They didn't always have it.
Your guesses can be Canada, Uruguay, Netherlands, or Jamaica.
I can't believe it wasn't legal in Jamaica like for its whole life.
What's your guess?
Tables.
Canada.
Incorrect.
I was going to say Canada.
Jess.
I wouldn't say that. You already guessed wrong.
Jamaica.
So is that your, is
yeah,
that
Tapes,
guess?
You could have guessed something else.
Well, what were the options?
Canada, Uruguay, Netherlands, or Jamaica?
I bet it was Netherlands.
Everybody loses. Uruguay. What, smart questions or?
Dumb questions.
Dumb questions? Okay. Yeah.
There are no dumb questions, only dumb answers.
What did Kylie Jenner wear to the Schiaparelli fashion show in January?
Jess. Clothes.
More specific, please.
A dress.
More specific, please.
A long dress.
Chef.
With heels.
Was it like made all of diamonds?
It was a dress with a lion's head on it.
Oh, I should have known that. I feel like that was years ago.
Who won the Best Actress Award at the Oscars?
Shep.
Give
me the movie.
I don't know
what
the movie
totally
is.
That's totally
I've never heard of this person in my life. Michelle Yeoh.
Oh, okay. I thought she was supporting. Yeah, she is from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Didn't sound like you knew that one.
I guess I was the only one like here this year.
Okay, this is another one Shep's going to get. What is the code name for King Charles' coronation?
Oh, I know the funeral is Operation London Bridge. I don't know the coronation.
Do you know it?
Why is that funny?
Because London Bridge is falling down.
All right. It is Operation Golden Orb.
Oh, please.
Okay. This year's publishing blockbuster was Prince Harry's memoir, Spare.
Yes.
Did you read it?
Yes.
Okay. She might have an unfair advantage here.
I mean, probably this whole time.
It claims his best man duties for Prince William were hindered by which unfortunate injury on Harry's person?
Frostbitten penis. Final answer.
All right.
Is that true?
Where were you guys all year? Are you kidding?
Well, that's it for 2023.
What a
Thanks
year.
For playing.
We'll see you next year.
Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially marketing o'clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it live.